Isaiah chapter 5 and just verse 1 on this Vision Sunday morning. Let me read it for us. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. Let's pray now as we come to the sermon. Father God, thank you so much for the vision you've given us as a church. And we pray now as we spend the next few moments together, reminding ourselves of what it is you've called us to do and to be, that you will both get it to be clear in our minds and inspiring as well in our hearts. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Each year, we set aside one Sunday a year to remind ourselves of our vision, inspire ourselves towards it, and invite others to join us in the journey. Normally, our Sunday morning nourishment is going through the Bible and listening to its teaching, what we call expository preaching. And Bible preaching should be the main diet of the church, is the main diet of this church, and always will be as long as I am pastor here. Right now, we're going through Matthew's gospel. Some might say, torturously slowly. But this is our annual Vision Sermon 2025. And on this Sunday, we focus on our vision, which is, of course, a biblical vision fueled by our Sunday-by-Sunday listening to the Bible together. Our vision is summarized in three words, proclaiming the gospel. The longer version of the vision goes as follows. The God-centered gospel of Jesus Christ, proclaimed in us as a church and through us to the world by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. That vision, proclaiming the gospel, frames everything we do. Steve Jobs was one time walking on the factory floor and asked someone at a workstation, "What are you doing?" And the man replied with some technical details about what he was doing, making some widget or other. Jobs interrupted. "No," he said, "here's what you are doing. You are changing the world." Well, that was Jobs' vision, changing the world. At College Church, we have a bigger vision, an eternal vision. What we're doing is nothing less than proclaiming the gospel together as a church. And as the church of the living God, we are a pillar and buttress of the truth, with the gospel of the glory of God to proclaim. But what does that mean in practice? And to answer that question, we have five initiatives whose goals are updated each year, have point people to help us drive them forward, and who report on progress made at the weekly staff meeting and each month at the elder council meeting. Our task today on this Vision Sunday is to see where we are, where we are going, and how each of us personally can get involved to move us further towards our vision. Now, at the annual meeting tonight, I also give a report to the members of the church, which will give a little more detail. For this morning, I'm using the picture of the vine. In the Bible, God's people in the Old Testament are described as a vineyard, and God sings a song of the vineyard, his love song for his people in Isaiah chapter 5, to be a fruitful vineyard. But God's people in the Old Testament failed to live up to God's vision for them. And so in God's plan, Jesus in the New Testament is himself the vine. We are the branches, as Jesus explains in John chapter 15. He is the vine. In other words, it is as we stay in him, by faith in him, by the gospel, as we are faithful, that we will be fruitful to proclaim the gospel. So where are we? Where are we going? And how can each of us get involved to proclaim the gospel together for the next year as a church, from 2025 through to 2026. Well, let's look at those five initiatives. The first we call Pathway. This initiative orientates all our ministries together in such a way that at College Church, we can discover Jesus for the first time, grow in our faith, and impact the world. In 2025, we will continue to expand and strengthen this pathway by 1, equipping and encouraging congregants so that they are motivated to share the gospel and their personal faith stories within the community. 2, expanding outreach initiatives by building upon our existing programs and developing new efforts designed to invite community members to engage with the church more frequently and meaningfully. And 3, promoting the proclamation of the gospel and what College Church offers to the community through a variety of communication channels. How are we doing? Well, currently, we estimate that we're at 33%. For this year's goals. This year, at Easter weekend, we had over 5,000 people in attendance, the most for well over a decade. So we are reaching more people. And this year, we have had, again, full membership classes. To move it forward further, we're now at 33% of our target this year. How can you get involved? It starts with the attitude of our hearts. College Church is not my church. It is not your church. It is not even our church. Christ Jesus is the head of this church, and it is his church. Our desire, therefore, is to reflect Jesus' desire for his church. We saw this as we went through the book of Acts together some time back. The church is Jesus' mission to the world. Now, those of you who've been around church circles for a while may detect a nuance. We are not a, quote-unquote, seeker-sensitive church. But nor are we a, quote-unquote, seeker-get-lost church. We have a pathway. For Jesus himself came to seek and save the lost. And as we increasingly reflect his heart for the lost will be a place where people can discover Jesus, grow in their faith, and impact the world. And so our worship services follow what some theologians call the regulative principle. That is, we worship God as God in his word says he is to be worshipped. We pray, we listen to the Bible read and preached. We sing spiritual songs and hymns. We celebrate the Lord's ordinances of communion and baptism. And this shapes our worship philosophy, whereby the focus of our worship is God, not human stylistic preferences. And the main instrument of our worship, aided by our musicians, is the singing of God's people. In all this, throughout all our ministries, the first initiative aims for us to be a place where people can discover Jesus, grow in their faith, and impact the world to the glory of God. The second initiative we call community. We will cultivate care, encouragement, and connection in 2025 by 1, calling a pastor focused on care, encouragement, and connection. 2, establishing a permanent care team to support congregational care. And 3, exhorting our congregation to make consistent attendance on our Sunday morning worship a priority, to be active in a smaller gathering and be involved in an area of service. How are we doing? Well, currently we estimate we're at 67%. In particular, as the members of the church will know, we're bringing before the congregation the calling of a pastor of community. Now, I'll explain more of the thinking process behind this tonight at the annual meeting, but essentially at College Church, the buzzword care and connecting goes back decades. And it's always a challenge as a larger church to care like a smaller church. We've had 2 previous pastors in this role, and it has proved to be, shall we say, a demanding role. This time, we have taken the time, over 2 or 3 years, to explore how to rework the position to make it more effective and sustainable. Essentially, we have duly allocated the roles of care and connecting in two different ways. So we now will have a care team, including referring to counseling as needed, staff and elder council aspects of the team. Two of our staff have delegated some of their other roles so they can also take up leading that care team on a daily basis. And the community or connecting aspect of the job we've brought into this role going forward as a pastor of community. It's a brilliant solution, and I can say that because I did not come up with it. And will make us move closer and closer to one of the key goals of a larger church, which is to care like a smaller church. And that way, here at College Church, you can have all the benefits of a larger church. Impact on society around, missions and global impact, excellent ministries for children and youth and adults. But also the benefits of a smaller church, community and caring. How can you get involved? The key to being a church with a vibrant and caring community is not programmatic, but personal. A healthy church cares for itself. The more we look around on Sunday morning and look out for who we can invite back for a meal that Sunday, planning each Sunday to invite someone, but you don't know who, and you see who the Lord provides for you to invite back. The more we are a dynamic community, as each of us individually is taking responsibility to care for the person next to us in the pew, the more we will fulfill this community initiative. The third initiative we call discipleship. We will elevate biblically rigorous and practical discipleship in 2025 by developing a clear track to introduce people to the foundations of Christian discipleship, basics of the Christian faith, spiritual growth, including training in Bible study and prayer, and gospel impact. This will parallel our church-wide ministry pathway of discover, grow, and impact. How are we doing? Right now, we estimate we're at 20%. All our discipleship ministries are thriving and growing, with men's Bible study out of space, and similarly for our youth and children's and women's ministries. The aim of this initiative is to up our game of discipleship, in particular in relation to the many challenges that Christians and Christian families face these days with relation to cultural and even anti-Christian pressure. The task of spiritual formation cannot any longer rest upon a business-as-usual approach to church. So over the years, we've had various significant and highly appreciated seminars on some of the most important aspects of Christian discipleship today. And this year, we're focusing on providing courses that will parallel the pathway track. That way, when someone comes to College Church and is interested in Jesus and wants to explore more, we can encourage that person to go to a Christianity 101 class. Similarly, if someone is already a Christian but needs to take some first steps in discipleship, we can encourage them to a class that will help them develop effective Bible reading habits, patterns of generosity, discover their spiritual gifts, and the like. And if someone now wants to have an impact, we can encourage them to a class that will help them have an impact at home, at work, at school, and to our mission prep program too, where we now have the most number of people in our mission prep program we have ever had. How can you get involved? Partly by coming to and inviting others to those training tracts, but also discipleship is far more than merely attending programs. Once we are a disciple, we are to be a disciple maker. And Jesus' strategy for reaching the world is for each of us who are disciples to make disciples. A simple strategy, a biblical strategy. So look around at your circle of influence, your school, your home, your friendships, your work in the church, and adopt a policy of deliberate friendship, whereby you deliberately invest friendship in your circle of influence with a goal of bringing us all closer to Christ-likeness in society and involvement in the church. The fourth initiative we call campus. In 2025, we will increasingly activate our campus by utilizing the crossings as a crossover space to reach the community and for student worship and family space, executing year two of the three-year capital campaign launched in 2024, prioritizing safety and accessibility upgrades to our parking and other key areas, and clarifying the highest and best missional use for our portfolio of rental properties. How are we doing? Right now, we estimate that we're at 15%. Some years ago now, the Lord in His providence opened up opportunities for the church to purchase contiguous properties to the campus. Most of us thought that these would never be available given our downtown city center location and the expensive housing market around us. But remarkably, and each of the properties has its own God moment story. Remarkably, the houses to the right of the sanctuary building, to my right, all the way to the next street became available. The Chase ATM building became available. And the former furniture store, now called The Crossings, also. We have immediately made use of these properties where we could. The Crossings now is where Clapham School meets and is thriving. And also where the Stars Disability Ministries resale store is located and is thriving massively. The final third of that building, which is the only two-story part, is now also being used for youth ministries, college student ministries, worship meeting space, and much else besides. But we knew that to make full use of what the Lord has provided, we would need a capital campaign. And we launched what is called the Gospel Now Project in the spring of 2024, just a year ago, with three aims. To call us all to be involved in the gospel vision of the church as a whole, to raise capital, and to call us to pray for the gospel ministry of the church. The Gospel Now Project is more than, but not less than, a capital campaign. For the prayer emphasis, we have had days of prayer, and each month the whole church prays through a special memory verse. For the act emphasis, we have continued to call us all to be involved in serving and giving and doing ministry with now well over 1,200 volunteers in this church. In terms of the capital campaign, in the first year, the Lord in His kindness through the generosity of God's people has provided almost $5 million. And this, in addition to us ending the year at 95% of budget, which is about normal for us, which means that God's people at College Church this year have given or pledged to the Lord's work a remarkable almost $15 million. This is humbling and praiseworthy. That said, the middle portion of this three-year campaign, the year ahead, is where the real hard work begins. We need to move the dial up to, say, 7 or 8 or even 8 million by this time next year so that we can then have the final year run to completion. How can you get involved? It is my prayer that everyone would give as they are able. I have personally given, of course, but in addition to whatever few shekels I can contribute, this year, last year, by overseeing the college ministry, I've saved the church money too. When Charles Spurgeon was raising money for one of his many capital campaigns, he would go on preaching tours and take up love offerings, which love offerings would go to fund the building campaign. Maybe I'll do that one next. In any case, churches like College Church have the opportunity to be a secure temple in the midst of the storm of secularism. With our downtown location, but now also with this campus that the Lord has provided, we can have the best of both, an effective excellence of a larger church and caring like a smaller church. The fifth initiative we call partnerships. In 2025, we will leverage the church's history of church planting, training programs, and connections across the country and world by seeking to develop one new church partner in each category: planting, strengthening, and revitalizing by December 2025. How are we doing? Well, right now, this year, so far, we estimate we're only 6%. So we have an exciting acceleration to come. Now, my friends, College Church has a massive and ongoing commitment to global missions. Any cost of living increase to our stateside staff here at the church is matched with the same increase to our global missionaries. The aim of this initiative is particularly to target the partnership aspect of our heritage and relationships to develop new church partners in planting, strengthening, and revitalizing. Since I have been here, we arrived at the end of 2008, we completed the church plant in Naperville. I remember when Doug O'Donnell was the church planter there, and he was on the staff team when I first arrived. I remember visiting him and trying to encourage him. I remember the transition they made and trying to help them as they purchased that building there, merged with another church. And of course now Chris Castaldo is the pastor there, who was also on staff with me years ago here. I was involved with the church plant we launched in Lombard. I remember prayer walking with Jeff Brewer as we sought the Lord's will for the right location for him. And now Eric Channing is the pastor there. Eric, who was on staff with me here for a number of years. I remember the first national church plant we have done with Zach Fallon down in Georgia. The phone call we made when we were sitting on the raised deck there outside the commons together that got the ball rolling. I just came back from visiting one of our partners, a church in London that has now planted its own church too, the pastor of which, Malcolm Riley, dated his now wife when she was an undergraduate student at Wheaton College, and whose premarital counseling Rochelle and I did. And they are now thriving and having a very significant ministry, setting up actually their own church planting network in the United Kingdom. We've also partnered with a church planting group in Austria. The way forward, my friends, is partnerships. One of our former pastoral residents is now on staff with a church planting network in New England, and we're exploring such partnerships and others, and also on the ground in missions where we partner with our missions partners. Now, this isn't a mission Sunday where we take a whole Sunday and indeed a whole week just to talk about missions, but it is important you hear from me that global missions at College Church is strong. We have more people now in mission prep program than we have ever had. How can you get involved? Pray. Pray that the Lord would open up doors for partnerships. There are several conversations ongoing. Pray that the right doors are open, the right conversations take place, that we have the Lord's guidance as we consider how to advance this initiative. Pray for the Lord to lead and guide. Give. We know that there are many individual ministries and mission organizations that ask for our individual giving too. But when we give to global ministry through the local church, we are ensuring that the mission work is biblical, healthy, and evangelistically focused. Go is God calling you to God's harvest field. Now, speaking of prayer, the Elder Council this year asked, in addition to all our work that we did together, that we, as we were planning this, the pastoral staff and the council and the leaders for these new annual goals that we've just been through and the initiatives that underline them, they asked that we add to the published version of these initiatives a simple phrase to indicate our dependence upon the Lord and also cause to prayer. It says this: we bathe all of these initiatives in prayer. We bathe all we do as a church in prayer in so many ways. Prayer on Sunday morning for the services. They meet in the boardroom and pray for God's blessing every Sunday morning. Prayer very early on a Monday morning. Business leaders with great responsibilities gather at 6:30 in the morning to pray for God's work of revival and blessing in this city, in this church. Pray on Wednesday lunch for the work of the missions over a Zoom call with our missions pastor for the global work. Friday lunch for the persecuted church. Prayer in adult communities and small groups. Prayer in our services. But for this Vision Sermon 2025, I have written a special prayer for us as a church as we seek to pursue what we believe is God's vision for us proclaiming the gospel. Now, this is a written prayer. Usually, those who come here regularly will know that I pray extemporaneously in church, which doesn't mean unpreparedly. It means without a written script. But for this occasion, I'm asking you that you would pray in your hearts along with me this special Vision Sermon 2025 prayer. So will you bow your heads with me as we pray together? Let us pray. Father God, maker of all, creator of the universe, master, redeemer, friend, it is by your will that the church exists. It has been your passion to purchase for yourself a people for your own possession. Forgive us. You desired that we would be like a fruitful vineyard. You planted us. You watered us. You nurtured us. How often we have let you down and done what betrayed you. In your sovereign mercy, you yourself became the vine. The Lord Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Thank you that in Jesus we who are far away are brought near. Thank you that you promise that if we remain in him, we will bear much fruit. Help us, Lord, to remember that we are but branches. Forgive us the arrogance that boasts in the age of our church. Forgive us the pride that exalts in the fame of our church that calls it our church rather than your church. Forgive us the small-mindedness that makes ourselves big and you small. We are but branches. Help us remain in you through resting, through abiding in you, through trusting you. Lord, the harvest is great. It is intimidating. We look around and we see so many lost. We look outside in society and we see so many sheep without a shepherd. We look at our society and we see so much rancor and division. So many hurt and bruised people needing a shepherd, needing a church. Who is equal to these things? Not us, O Lord, not us, but you. You are the vine. We are the branches. You have promised that if we remain in you, we will bear fruit, even much fruit. May it be so, Lord. The fruit of repentance. The fruit of meekness. The fruit of love. The fruit of unity. The fruit of peace and joy and patience. May our words be your word, the fruit of lips that give you praise, give testimony to you too. Seek us, O Lord, for we are so often lost, we wander and stray. Save us, O Lord, and glorify yourself in your inheritance. This year, this day, this hour. Amen.